than I would there. Amen. I don't want nothing between me and God, and I got a confession to make, and I need to lay it out, because I was this past week, a lot of times, just to be right frank with you, these conferences, they're good. I encourage you, if you get a chance to be at these conferences. Now, please understand, the Bible conferences and the leadership conferences are different from our quarterly conferences here in the state for South Carolina Conference, in which we're in as a church we belong to. But this past few days in Spartanburg was our state quarterly meeting. If somebody wanted to wipe all the Free Will Baptist ministers that are associated in the state of South Carolina, all they'd had to done was drop the bomb right there in Spartanburg, and that'd been pretty well the end of Free Will Baptist here in the state as we know it. But I will tell you this, I got a confession to make, and just through that song, it was eating me up. Because for near about 2 days, I'll be honest, here's another confession, I'm just... But sometimes them conferences get boring. Yes, they do. And I don't always be listening to what they say. Amen. Now, when they preach, they'll have a messenger, a preacher will come and preach from every conference. So you have a variety. Free Will Baptist ain't the same everywhere you go. I mean, they be able to get down. They get down. And so I got there, and I'll listen during the preaching and the singing. That's the highlight. But some of these conferences, I'm working on something else. I'm working on the message, you know. That's just confession. I'm listening. I'm multitasking, you know. But the thing is, I really worked on my message for this morning. And I'll just tell you, for 2.5 days, all day long yesterday, I mean, in leading up to that, and Friday at the conference, and Thursday at the conference, I worked on my message. And it just wouldn't come. And finally, yesterday, I got so frustrated yesterday with the Lord. I said, Lord, what's wrong with me? You know, because I know there's nothing wrong with you, God. You're flawless. I said, but I have worked diligently. I mean, just really hard to find this message. And it just didn't ever happen. I mean, it just didn't ever really happen. And so anyhow, I just sat down and said, well, I'm going to just count my many blessings. You know, I got to always go back and think about how good God is. And that was the message this morning, but I'll tell you what spoke to me during that song, and it was this. You know, here's the thing. It don't matter if I work 2.5 days on a message or if I work 2 weeks on a message. That's not my time. That's God's time. And I'm doing it for God. And for that, He is worthy of my time. It doesn't matter how long it takes. And I can't get frustrated and be impatient. I just like for my things to flow a little bit better now. I mean, I might want to watch a basketball game or something, you know. But if you ain't got that message ready, you can't do that kind of stuff. So, but God's good. And He's good. And He's forever teaching me lessons. And if I'll learn from my mistakes, oh, how much greater I'll be for God's service. Amen. Tonight, I want to just share with Brother A.C. I appreciate Brother A.C. For once, I can say it and I ain't lying. You know, he did a good job this morning in his Sunday school class. A wonderful job. He got a good class over there. I was able to be with them this morning over there as they talked about worship. Did a good job. And I appreciate Brother A.C.'s willingness to change. I mean, I'll tell you, just years ago, Brother A.C., he didn't know what that word meant. He couldn't spell it frontward or backwards. But I'll tell you right now, I'm proud of him. And I just, you give credit where credit's due, amen. And I'm proud of him. I appreciate those praise songs tonight, you know. He did a good job. And we need that. We need a good mixture of that. And this is only the tip of the iceberg. And I'm so thankful to God and to His people who are willing to serve Him. Amen. So tonight I want to share with you some things that I am very proud of as your pastor. And then we'll get right into our message tonight on how to get to heaven. Our church, our WAC, Women's Auxiliary, as most of us know it, I want you to know, was number one in the state in giving this past year. Amen? I appreciate that. That's across the state. Now, there are 120 churches in our conference. I mean, in the state association, should I say. And our Women's Auxiliary were number one. Our church, you saw Brother Mike had mentioned on a Wednesday night, you were number three. Lebanon Church is number three out of 120 churches in the state in giving. I mean, that is awesome. Praise the Lord. Now, you don't think, amen, Now, you don't think that I wasn't a proud man at the conference, you know, just to be able to know that my name is attached to the side of Lebanon Church. You know, I'm kind of, you know, reaping the benefits here. And then I also, it didn't stop there. While we were at this conference, that wasn't that boring. The thing was, we were number 6 in the state given to the children's home, the Free Will Baptist Children's Home in Turbyville. And I was able to go forward out of the top 10 givers to the children's home in the state, out of 120 churches. I was able to walk forward and get a plaque, which I've got in my truck. And that plaque says that Lebanon Free Will Baptist Church was the number 6 giver. We were in the top 10 out of 120 churches in the state. That's a big deal. And it's because you give. You see, you can't outgive the Lord. So Lebanon was represented well at the conference, and it's not because necessarily that Reedy and Annie and AC and Mike and myself went, but it's because you as the people and your hearts and willingness to serve the Lord is what represented Lebanon Church so well. And I was just proud of you. Even in Spartanburg, I had time to think about you. And I'm telling you, I really, really appreciate it. Now, I want to also tell you this. The last couple Sunday nights, Brother Todd Parrish come in, and he shared with us how he's a Christian counselor. You know, our theme this year is training and education. Amen? We need to be trained and educated. I want the people who's come in, and God's blended us well, and I want you to be educated in who Free Will Baptists are, not only in our doctrine, but our extensions and what we have to offer to the people. And you saw where Brother Todd Parrish come in as one of our reverends and associated with our South Carolina Conference, but he's an extension of this church as a Christian counselor just there on Third Loop Road. And we're also going to have a workshop on a Friday night, Saturday, sometime right after Easter, and we'll line all the details up on that, but I've talked with him. But sometime after Easter, we're going to have a workshop where we'll be able to come in here, and it'll help educate us and help us in the areas of counseling. Now, also, Adam and Cassie Henson came just last Sunday night from Maranatha Christian School. Now, that doesn't mean that I want everybody to go to Maranatha Christian School, but I wanted you to be well aware that we as Free Will Baptists do have that extension there at Maranatha Christian School, and that it is a good thing, and it gives you an opportunity to think about the investment of taking your children to a Christian school and investing the money and time in them. And I just wanted you to be aware of that. Also, April 19th, we're going even further. On that Sunday morning, we're going to have our Bible College Day, and the president of the Bible College, Dr. Matt Pinson, will be here that Sunday morning, and hopefully we'll have some members of their choir, their singing group, to be able to be here and sing for us as well. So the continuation of our training and education, it's not that we just talked about it, but that we are in the process of doing it. Now, there are many things that we're going to do, but it helps educate us not only in the areas that we need expertise, but it educates us and makes us well aware of who we are and what we have at our resources, our fingertips. And we need to know that to be effective, because if we're going to do all that we can do for the glory of God, we need to know what our tools are and our equipment and be able to use them at our disposal. Amen? So let's be much in prayer. But tonight, I want God's Word to speak to us about the Romans Road. Now, how many of you have heard the terminology, the Romans Road? Raise your hand. All right. Now, we're going to talk about the Romans Road tonight. And what you're going to be able to do when you leave here is you're going to have the basis for how to lead somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to have the basic principles and how to lead someone to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you this here. The Romans Road in some places are compiled of a little bit of a variation in verses. Now, you'll find some this way, some this way. Some of you maybe learned it from a verse or two differently than what I've got tonight. But truth is, that don't matter, because I'm preaching a message and that's the way it is. Amen? So if you've learned it wrong, learn it right tonight, and you'll be able to take that with you. Now, but you will find that. So I want you to be well aware and trained and educated when you do see a Romans Road in a Christian bookstore, in the back of your Bible, in a training educational center. You may see a verse or two that's there or not there. But tonight I'm going to give to you the Romans Road. I trust you've got something to write with. And what's going to happen and stem from this message is you're going to be so intrigued, you're going to say, Mac, will you give us that Romans Road on paper, and I'm going to tell you, let me talk to Brother Mike, and we'll get back with you. Amen. So what we'll do is this here, because Brother Mike is great administration. Remember, I'm the dreamer, he's the doer. And so together we do well. Did miss Brother Mike this morning. We didn't have but 169 this morning. But here's the thing. Boo, yeah, Brother Mike wasn't here. They knew he wasn't coming. They didn't show up. But I know that many people are sick, and I do know that the rain was a factor this morning. But here's the thing. I want to pray for those who weren't here, but I want to be thanking the good Lord for those who were. Amen. We're glad you're back here tonight. I want to share with you now the Romans Road. Well, what is the Romans Road? You can turn in your Bible to the book of Romans, of course, and find chapter 3. But what is the Romans Road? The Romans Road is to salvation, a way of explaining good news of salvation using verses from the book of Romans. It is a simple yet powerful method explaining why we need salvation and how God provided salvation and how we can receive salvation and what are the results of salvation. Now, I want to question you tonight just to begin with. How many of you, just by a show of hands, and don't be embarrassed if you haven't because your time is coming soon, but how many of you in here tonight have been able to lead someone, whether it been your family or a friend or a stranger, to the Lord Jesus Christ in your lifetime? If you've ever led someone to the Lord, understand you didn't save them, God did, but you were able to put their hand in the man's hand and they were able to be saved. If you've ever been able to lead someone to the Lord, will you raise your hand for me? Amen. Wonderful response. Praise the Lord. Now here's what we're going to do. For those of you who have never led anyone to the Lord, here's what we're going to do. Tonight you're going to know how to do it, and then what you're going to do at the end of this message is you're going to ask God for the opportunity. But be careful what you ask for, because there's many that need to be saved, and God will send them maybe as soon as tomorrow. God is looking for soldiers of the cross, those who are equipped and ready to lead someone down Romans Road in order that they may obtain and have salvation. Now, please understand this as I give you clarity. If you did not use this precise method, it does not mean that what you did was ineffective, because I don't want you to get that feeling either. I just want to give you what it said, because I believe there was a time in history there wasn't a such thing called a Romans Road. Amen. But I want you to understand tonight that the Romans Road is a method in which it leads someone down the pathway to the Lord Jesus Christ, shows them how to obtain and have salvation. But we need to understand that tonight. So I'm going to give you some verses. You don't have to write down everything I say because we are recording this message. But I do want you to write down these verses of Scripture beginning with Romans chapter 3 and look at verse 10. Now, the Bible says in Romans 3:10, now, this is one verse you'll see that's not there or not there, but I'm not going to make any more excuses the rest of the service. I'm going to just go forward. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. What does that mean? That very clearly means to someone when you're talking to them and someone comes to you and says, listen, I'm not sure if I'm saved. Just picture for a minute. Maybe you need to have this illustration in your mind just for a minute, and maybe that will help us be a little more sincere about what God is offering tonight in this message. Just say you were at your place that you work, and can you imagine how it was that day at 9/11 when those were standing on those floors and they knew there was no way down, no way up, and this was the end of their life? And imagine you being in a situation like that, and you're their only line of hope. And because you took tonight's message to heart, and believe you me, there are some things you may feel like you can't remember, but God said through His Holy Spirit He would bring us remembrance. Don't underestimate the Holy Spirit, nor shut Him out. But there may very well be a time in your life when you least expect it, you will need this right here to lead someone to the Lord Jesus Christ. And because you listen tonight, they may spend eternity in glory because of this opportunity. So take this opportunity to maybe use it on another opportunity that you may lead someone to the Lord. Now, let me say this here. There's probably someone in your family that's not saved. I know I have some that are not saved. But maybe you'll just be at a Christmas gathering or a Thanksgiving gathering or maybe a funeral of some sort, and someone comes to you, puts their head on your shoulder and says, you know what, I'm not right with God. Can you show me how? And you're going to be ready. You're not going to have to wonder if the preacher's going to answer his phone. By all means, call. But you're going to know how to do it. And let me tell you what's going to happen for me. It is going to set your wood on fire. Because when you lead somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no greater miracle in this life. And you know what I'm talking about. And see, if more of us could lead someone to Christ, you would get on fire, and that fire spreads like a wildfire. And I will tell you, my dear friend, when we get to that place, there won't be a question of when and how we build. It'll be how much are we going to build. Because I'll tell you, God's Word is the most effective Word there is. And it's the living Word. So here we are, Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. You want to explain to them that they're not perfect. Look at the second verse. Look at, you're still in Romans 3, in verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Can I tell you also tonight as we go through this that you may want to examine your own life? This is the time that you're not necessarily nailed at an altar tonight, but you're sitting at your pew and God may be dealing with your heart. Why don't you take time to take this Romans road that maybe you've never been down before and really think about your life tonight? Can you do that? Can you get to the place tonight where you confront yourself as the wayward son did and let God deal with you? Because we're all here not to hurt you, but help you because we love you. Amen. But for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We want people to know that there is sin in their hearts, and it's been that way since the day they were born. Born with that curse of sin, even from the Garden of Adam and Eve. But what you want them to do from this verse primarily is this. Admit that you're a sinner. Isn't that always the first step in correcting a problem? We have to admit there's a problem. So we want them to admit there's a problem. Thirdly, if you'll move over now to Romans chapter 5 and find verse 8. Romans 5 and find verse 8. The Bible says, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Picture this for a minute. A sinless God who knew no sin took the whole world's sin upon Him. Have you ever took a minute just to think about every sin that's ever been committed in this life? Every sin from the beginning of time, all the way to the end of time, that any sin would ever be done in the past, present, or future. See, he'll never go back to the cross to die for somebody's sin tomorrow. When He went there, He bore the sin that would ever be committed out of every human being the entire time of life. There's nothing that you've ever done or thought about doing that His blood has not already covered. See, He died for that sin. So, please understand tonight, don't be drowning in your misery. Just turn it over to God because, see, His Son's already died and paid the penalty for that very thing that you're doing. So you want people to understand that a sinless God took their sin upon Him, but He paid the sin debt. Listen now, paid in full. Amen. He paid it where you could have lived five lifetimes and would never even had attempted to pay on your debt. Because God said there's only one lamb, one precious lamb without blemish or spot, and it's my Son Jesus. He is the only acceptable sacrifice. So you want them to understand that God commended His love toward them in that while we were yet sinners, but watch this, Christ died for us. Can I point out to you tonight that this verse says that His love saves us, not religion or church? His love is what saves you. Young people, older people, men, women, boys and girls of any race, any gender, His love is what saves you, not a church, not religion, not any organization or any group you may take part in. The love of God is what saves a sinner. So you want them to not only admit they're a sinner, but in Romans 5:8, you want them to give your life to God. You need to give it over to God. Now look at the fourth verse here in Romans 6:23. Flip the chapter, Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Can I share with you tonight and what you should share with someone as you're leading them down Romans Road? Don't back up from God's Word when you're talking to somebody. Don't you try to sugarcoat it. Listen, if they've got to a point, really and sincerely, they have convictions on their life about giving their heart over to the Lord, don't you try to pamper God's Word and make it sound more delicate than it is. Listen, God's judgment is harsh. But we shouldn't put our emphasis on God's judgment. We should think about God's love in this life that we're living in. The day will come when there's judgment. But now He's trying to receive all men unto Himself. But the thing is, don't you back up. When it says that the wages of sin is death, it's death. Not only to the physical body. Yes, we die a physical death because of the sin that we're born with. That curse upon our life. The same curse that drives women to bear the labor pains they have. That bears men to have to get out and go and work in the field. That sin all the way originated in the Garden of Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden. And from that day forward, when they went and eat upon that tree of knowledge of good and evil, the only tree they were forbidden to eat from that point forward, there's been sin and always will be until the end. But here's what we have to remind them of. If you stay in that sin that God is convicting you of, it is surely death. Not just to the physical, but mainly to the spiritual. And when you die a death in sin, it alienates your soul from God forever. The separation. You remember in Luke chapter 16 about the rich man and Lazarus? Listen, when the rich man was talking to Abraham and Lazarus was in his bosom, he said, I can't come to where you are. There's a gulf fixed between us. Listen, it's not the hellfire. It's not the devil. It's not the worm that dieth not. It's not the chains and the outer darkness and damnation. Listen, that ain't it. It's the separation from God. We don't understand because, see, we live in a life and we've been born into sin. But listen, grace of God abounds you even as we speak. The love of God and the light of this world and the salt of this earth is His people. You don't want to be without God. You don't want to be in a desolate place where God is not. We've never experienced that, nor do you want to experience it. Listen, the best soul winner we could ever have is for one of us to go spend the night in hell tonight and come back in the morning. I'm not saying those words to frighten you, but you don't, listen, you don't want your family. You don't want your friends. You don't want the people who come to you and say, do you know how to lead me to the Lord Jesus Christ? Take this to heart, church. You want to be able to lead them to the throne of grace. You cannot save them, but you can lead them to the man who can. And that's our responsibility, our job, one of them as a Christian. But you don't want to be without God. I can't stress that. I'll never be able to say it enough. But you don't want them to be separated, and that death does. And I want you to just think about this. Separating your soul from the Savior forever. Now, don't get me wrong, but you won't be there. If you went to hell tonight, left out and got in a car accident and you died in your sin, you're fornicating or you're adulterous or just whatever it is, and you've just never received the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. And you died and went to hell. It's bad that the only time you'll ever see Jesus now is when He calls you out of hell for the great white throne judgment. See, there'll be a roll call there too. But it won't be up yonder. It won't be for the saints. For the great white throne judgment is when every soul that's ever been cast into hell will be called out and you'll be judged according to your sin. Listen, I don't care how big and bad you are or how you think you've got your life figured out. You do not want to face God with the blood of the Lamb on your hands. You want it on your heart. Because, see, if you leave this life and the sins that He died for, that blood will be on your hands because, see, we're the ones who nailed Him there. And you, when you stand before God at the great white throne judgment, see, all indication is it's Jesus Christ is doing the judging. See, He knows who He died for. And He knows who received it. There's no fooling Him. And see, He'll see the blood. See, if you go to the great white throne judgment, you messed up anyhow. See, that's for the sinners. That's for those who are in hell. You don't want to go to that judgment. Now, we're all going to be judged. But if you go to the great white throne judgment, you'll leave there and be cast into outer darkness forever. It's serious, church. It's serious as a heart attack. I don't want to scare nobody, but I want God to stir our hearts up tonight and understand that time is a wasting. And I can find 100 excuses why not to, but tonight I need to find one why I will. But now, go to Romans 9 and 10. Praise God. Praise God, there's an alternative. And there is in that verse as well. Let me just finish Romans 6, 23. I read it, but let me comfort you tonight. The sin is death, of course. But he says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We've got a gift tonight, and his name is Jesus. But Romans 10, 9 and 10, they go together, so I'll read them together. When Romans 10, and look at verse 9, that if thou shalt confess, watch the wording here. Will you watch it very close? I trust you got your Bibles tonight, because it's always so much more effective when you've got the Word of God in your hands and watching it. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Watch this now. Listen, when he died to give us the gift of eternal life, he didn't stay in the grave. And Easter's coming. That's always my favorite time of year. I love to preach the Easter message. But see, God raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. This is what you're telling the one who is inquiring. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Can I show you something in these verses so maybe it'll clear things up? Look at the very first part of 9, and then let's look at the last part of 10. The very first part of 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Look at the last part now, verse 10. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See how they're intertwined and they're together? You always want to read them together if you can. Explain them, that's fine. But tonight, I'm not trying to go real in-depth with you, because if I go real in-depth, you may lose interest. You need to have something that's simple, but excellent and true that will lead someone down the road. Listen, Roman road is not supposed to be complicated. It's supposed to be a path that's already been purchased and paid for. There's no tolls on it. Amen? Not only did he pay the sin debt, but he paved the way. And we should be able to take people down. See, listen, if you're saved tonight, you've been down this path. Whether it came in this method or not, you that path was paid for you, and you were able to go through this path to get to where Lord Jesus Christ is. And he met you there. And you want to be able to take people down this same path that they're able to meet Jesus and see Jesus, because you want to introduce them to the King of your heart and share. Don't keep Jesus bottled up in here. You tell the world about what he did for you. You don't have to be an educated scholar to do that. You know, nobody knows what happened more to Scott than Scott. Nobody knows what happened to Betty better than Betty. I can't tell Wayne's story as good as Wayne can tell it. But Wayne can tell it. Scott can tell it. Betty can tell it. And they can tell anybody they see at any time. And I'll stand corrected, but if you go to jail for witnessing for Christ, we'll come bail you out. Amen? You ain't going to jail. Listen, if you do, we'll just have some Paul and Silas time at midnight, right? Like the preacher said the other day, you think Elvis Presley knew how to do the jailhouse rock. They had the jailhouse rock down pat, amen? Paul and Silas. And Paul loved every minute of it. They threw him in jail for talking about Jesus. I can see him right now smiling in there in handcuffs, talking about, looky here, I would have never gotten a witness to this Philippian jailer had I not been in here, amen? He said, now we're going to leave here tonight, and not only you going to get saved, but your whole house is going to get saved. Amen? Boy, I love salvation. I want it to come to my house and my neighbor's house and everybody else's house. But I can't just pray for God to go drop it down on the rooftop, maybe to fall through the crack. I got to go knock on the door. I got to go share with him what Jesus did for me. Amen? And I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Paul was very clear with that in Romans 1. He's not ashamed. And nor should we be. You know, Paul and Timothy's gone. They ain't coming back. But they left this here legacy. They left this here for you and I to pick it up and say, I'll pick up where they left off. And we got to go forward for the glory of God. But now, those verses are very self-explanatory about what happens with the confession of the mouth and the heart. But look at verse over the sixth one now in Romans 10:13, we come to the end of Romans Road. Look at this. We're at the end. Here's Jesus. Romans 10:13. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You know what that says? That's open to anyone. Anyone. I don't care if they're white, black, Hispanic, Chinese, Japanese. And guess what? So many people sometimes, now listen, thank God our church don't, but you know, if you think about it, Jesus wasn't white or black, He was Jew. Amen? So if you've got a racist problem, you need to go down Romans Road tonight, and I know some people who can lead you there. Amen? He was a Jew. Never let color be a barrier. Never let gender be a barrier between God making contact with that heart from your heart. Amen? So now, and can I say something tonight? I am so pleased that this young lady has come to our church the last 2 weeks. Amen? And she's a black lady. And she is so sweet. And she come to the altar this morning. Amen? And she just want to give thanks unto the Lord, or God dealing with her heart. But guess what? Had we been a people who had a problem with that, she would have never come back the second time and would have never maybe come to an altar in a church. Do you see the importance of that? See, because when Jesus died on the cross, He didn't just die for white. He died for all of mankind. Amen? Aren't you so glad it's not just for the Jew, but it's for the Gentile too? See, we Gentile. If you ain't Jew, you Gentile. And I'm so glad to know tonight that God has offered it to us as well. Now, but also you want to stress to them now to call out to God in the name of Jesus. Just call out to God. Do you know the Bible says that in Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah 6, that as God was being worshipped, and Isaiah called out unto the Lord, that He had the seraphim and the cherubims to hush their worshiping, because man was calling upon Him. Wow. You know, that's their job, day and night, which there's no time in heaven, but continuously, without nonstop, that's what they do. They're designed to worship God. Go to Revelations and you can read about it. Revelation 4 actually gives you a very good picture of worship and what the church is to be like, or what heaven is like. But hush. Be still, be quiet. That same voice that says, be still. Because man was calling upon you. Can you imagine that? And when one cries out to the Lord, "Oh God, save me because I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus Christ died for me. I know that He's not dead, but He sits at the right hand making intercession for me even now. And Lord, I just want to lay down the sins in my life. I want You to wash my heart white as snow. Cleanse me, Lord." And you know, if you mean that with all of your heart, God will flood your soul and wash away all the iniquity, even the curse of sin that you were born with. And just like that, you begin a new life. You don't have to be baptized to go to heaven. But what baptism represents is this, and you always want to encourage one that you've led down Romans Road. You want to let them know in the early days to come, you want to be baptized. You want to follow up with baptism. But what it represents, baptism represents a commitment. That you're committed to your salvation, your proclamation of faith. And what it represents is that you're laying down the old life and being resurrected. See, the baptism is nothing more than a watery grave, to where you're representing that you've laid down that life and you want to make it known publicly that you're God's man or God's woman. And you're following Him in this act of obedience and commitment unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, and I know many people may argue the fact that He didn't have the time, but you know as well as I do, the thief on the cross who got saved, he didn't get baptized. So you don't have to be baptized to go to heaven. But just like James said, our faith without works is dead. So if you're not willing to follow up in baptism, there's something wrong with your faith. And it indicates so. So what I want to open up is this tonight, encourage you this. There are some people who I believe have made some commitments here at the altar. Some have been made known, some have not. And if you've made that right with God, that's fine. But I've had some people who's come to me and said, "I've been baptized before, but I just don't feel comfortable with that commitment that I made to the Lord. And I would just soon be safe than sorry. I'd rather be baptized again." There's nothing wrong with that. We've had that done. I want you to feel comfortable to know that you can come to me. I even have one this morning who has said, listen, I want to be baptized. And I've also had one that's going to be baptized again because of the time and era in their life in which they got baptized, they didn't feel comfortable about it. And I'll tell you, if you've got any doubt, then we need to do it again. Now, we're not going to have any baptism at the rivers right now, but we'll have some in the baptistry, amen? And I wouldn't want to wait. So I want to tell you, if you've made a commitment in this church, you've been saved, but you've never been baptized, you need to let me know. I don't want you to be ashamed and say, well, preacher, it's been 2 years. Listen, okay, that's good, but don't let it be 3. Amen? And these people will be so happy and so tickled. But listen, if you've never been baptized, you need to get baptized. And it would do me no more pleasure than to baptize you. Praise the Lord, as an ordained minister. Amen? Amen? So, hey, I'm happy. I'm ready. And so you let me know. If you've never been baptized or if you've got any doubt about your baptism, you need to come to Preacher Mac and you need to let me know. And you need to let me know not before you leave here. Amen? And we need to get the word out. Someone comes to you and shares that with you, so you need to go see Preacher Mac. We're ready. We'll put you in the water. And just keep in mind, for every year you wait, that's an extra second I've got to hold you under. I think that's in here. No, it's not. So we need to go ahead and do it. Amen? But I'm so excited about people's commitments unto the Lord. And I'm so excited that you know how to lead someone down there. And listen, you know what may happen one of these days? Your little boy or little girl is going to crawl up in your lap. Amen? They're going to say, Mama, Daddy, how can I find you? You're going to be able to go get your Bible and you're going to say, let me show you how. Amen? And then you always want to make it public. Listen to me now. Everything God did in His Word was done. Everybody who got saved, there was always a time to express it publicly. And I want you to know that anybody ever gets saved, but they're not willing to come public, then they need to understand very clearly now that Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before man, I'll be ashamed of you before the Father. So if you've made a commitment and you haven't made it public, we need to do that too. Understand me, because if you're ashamed of Him, I understand you're not a people person and you're not standing in front of people, but let me tell you what, Jesus is worth bragging on. And listen, if you're coming up in His name, He'll take care of all the details. Don't you worry about that, oh ye of little faith. Amen? So let's do that. But now, let me just close with this verse here, and hot dog, we're going to get out of time tonight. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord! But you encourage them not only to be baptized, but let me share a verse with you that you're able to give with them. You can write this down, okay? There are several here, but we're not going to do all of them. John chapter 1, verse 12 says this, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Listen to that. Let me read that part again. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. You not only want to lead them down Romans Road, but you want to assure them in their new affirmed faith that they have in the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Lord's received them. And let me always say this here. You can always ask them this one question when it happens, okay? This is the way our altar workers are trained, and a question they always know to ask. Don't coach them into being saved. Remember, it's only of the Holy Spirit of God. See, the Bible very clearly tells us in Acts chapter 16 and verse 14, you can write this down as well, that a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. Whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. You can't open a heart. God has to do that work. Don't force the issue, because like Brother AC said this morning, that'll be your convert and not God's convert. Don't pressure people. Just be there for them. Be a constant reminder. But the best thing you will ever do under the sun for people who are lost is not browbeat them, but be an example that they cannot resist to want to become. If you show them God in your life, if you show them how you overcome adversity through His power, people will say, how in the world? Are we not so plagued with problems right now? People don't know which way to turn. They don't know which way to go. But boy, if they can look at you, a steadfast Christian who's not all worked up and you're calm, cool, and collect, people's going to look at you and say, what you doing? What's going on? And you're going to be able to tell them that you go to the best church in South Carolina. And you're going to be able to tell them that you serve the only true and living God, and His name is Jesus Christ. And they're going to be like, where can I go to find Him? You're going to say, well, let me show you. You don't have to go to church. You can get saved right now. And you pull your Bible out as you lead them down Romans Road and say, come Sunday, we're going to make it public. And you're going to be a part of expanding and building the kingdom of God. Amen? Are you ready? Well, I guess we'll just go home. What? Hey, are you ready? Amen. Yes, ma'am, Miss Betty. Yes, ma'am.